Good morning, everyone. This is Maura Lustig, and I'm your trainer on Wednesday mornings, and I hail from Peterborough, Ontario. And I love what Kevin was just saying, because I want to paint a picture for you right now. We are all phoning in from so many different locations, and I want a picture that as you picked up the phone and dialed in, the world around you disappeared, and you entered into a room with all of your friends. The world outside is gone for the next half hour, and we're together here, and we are all leaders. We are all on the same playing field. We are here to learn. We are here to share. We are here to contribute and help others develop. We're here to master skills. We're here to get clear on our why. We're here for many reasons. We're here for community. So when Kevin invites you to step out for that minute or two before we start the call in the mornings, that's important. I want to know that you're on the call, because if I'm training, I want to know that someone cares that I'm training, so that I know that what I'm trying to do is making a difference for you, just as I want to learn from you as well. So this week, the topic is leadership. And we led the week off with Carolyn. She was talking about John Maxwell and what it takes to be a good leader, like knowing the way, going the way, and showing the way. And Sue yesterday, she talked about leaning into your fear, about brave leadership. So I'm going to train in a minute. But first, what I want you to do is step out. I want to hear a few shares this morning, whether it's from people that are brand new, people that have been on the call with us, from my friends, who I look forward to hearing your voices each morning. So who wants to go first? Because I would really like to hear several.
Chris in Toronto.
Go ahead, Chris.
Good morning. Well, I have a couple of firsts tomorrow night at the event here in Toronto. I'll be bringing some team members for the first time. So a couple are traveling from Windsor, actually, to come up for the event, which is very exciting. And I'm also bringing some guests for the first time. So it's exciting for me to bring team members out and to show them around and you know, what these events are all about. And, you know, I feel like I'm broadening my leadership role within my team very much so in that regard.
Well, you certainly are, Chris. That's fantastic. I mean, leadership is all about influence. And so others have been influenced by your passion, by your commitment, to be able to see that this is something that they need to come and check out. They're trusting in you that this is worth their time and worth the distance, that they need to be there. And you're not going without them, you're going with them. That is a perfect example of leadership, so thank you for that. Who else? Who's going to step out next, and whether it's about taking people to events or something completely different? Where is leadership showing up for you this week?
Hi, Maura. It's Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. Leadership is showing up in the staying in a leadership position for a long time to show people the way who need to, you know, take their time with it. So I have met with an old friend who I've known for many, many years for about the past year and a half to just talk about drip on, you know, the business, the products, just generally letting her know. And she was never ready. And about a month ago, she jumped on board. And when I talked about you plus two, them plus two, and painted the picture, she had her husband jump on. And I believe it was because she knew that I could help her lead the way with not just her for weight loss, but him for muscle gain. He's an athlete. And don't you know, he's putting his hand up for the business. So I think that came from really being in integrity with myself for many, many months with her. So that's a different kind of leadership, and I really appreciate that it's come through this way.
That's a perfect example, Judy. Thank you. Because, yes, it's about time, not timing. And it's about sharing that vision continually. And in inviting them to help get their products, you know, get a beautiful rebate, if you will, with the product intro bonus she got for her husband's daughter. That was the first step in her seeing the magic of how IsoGenetix rewards us financially for sharing. Very good example. And they're in such good hands with you as their sponsor. And I hope we see you both tomorrow. I've got time for one more share. Who wants to be the one other?
Hi, Maura. It's Marcia.
Marcia, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I am just excited to, I guess maybe it's leadership, and we are getting our tickets today for the airline for flight to San Diego, so that will be the finishing touch. Everything is ready except the time to get here. So I am showing, you know, my team that we just need to do it and get it done, and I'm just excited because now it's more real. So we're just happy that we had the opportunity to go.
Marcia, that was an excellent share, too. This is perfect. I love the three shares we've had this morning. I'm sure there's a ton more out there, but I'm going to have to continue with my training. But, like, first of all, Chris talked about how he has set the example and really taken a stand for people getting to events with him. Judy talked about, giving someone time, having them and continuing to stay in touch with them and walk the talk so that when they were ready, she was there to help them get started and immediately help their spouse and share the entire vision. Now, Marcia talking about leaders flash first. She bought her, Marcia, you bought your tickets, your flights to get to San Diego. And now, of course, having taken that first step, you can now say to your team, I'm going, you're coming too. You need to be there with me. Not let's go together. It's I'm going, and you're coming too. And here's why you need to be there. Perfect. So I'm going to be perfectly transparent with all of you. This topic of leadership has instilled fear in me today because it is the most important topic in the world to me. It's kind of like, many of you know that I'm an artist. And when someone presents me with a blank canvas, I immediately say to myself, oh, wow, I can't wait to get started painting. And then I freeze because I don't want to wreck the canvas. I want to do it just right. I want to make the most magnificent painting in the world. And I think leadership is much like that. I've been actually studying leadership for the last 20 years. Ever since I started on the path of becoming a certified financial planner, and the company that I was with was passionate about helping people develop leadership abilities. And then I continued on that when I studied to become a coactive life coach. And I took the leadership program with the Coaches Training Institute and traveled to California for four different retreats, all about leadership. And then, of course, having done that, I fell in love with Isagenics when I understood that so much of it is about personal development and leadership. I mean, those of you who are regulars on this call, you're coming here because you are wanting to build your own leadership. It's huge what this does for us personally, and then what it does for our families, what it does for our businesses, what it does for the lives of others that we touch. I looked at a lot of the different writers that I have read over the years. Carolyn on Monday, she talked about how leaders are readers and readers are leaders, and she's so right. I mean, I practically inhale books on leadership, and there's just so much to choose from, so many rich topics within it to delve into that it was like this smorgasbord. Oh, my God, what do I do first? What do I pick? I mean, I love the work of John Maxwell. I love Anthony Robbins. I love Robin Sharma. Jim Collins, Good to Great. Bob Berg, The Go-Giver, that is Eric Coover's favorite book. Simon Sinek, Starting with Why, and Leaders Eat Last. Peter Senge, we've got someone with a bit of background noise, so if you're not speaking, remember to press mute or star 6. Okay. Peter Senge wrote the book Leadership and Self-Deception. Eric Worre talks about being a rock, not a river. Now I'm going to press star 5. Give me one sec. There we go. So now we have a clear line. So some of the different attributes that really stand out for me when it comes to leadership, the number one thing is vision. It's that the leader knows where they're going. They have clarity. As a leader, we take a stand, and we attract like-minded people. People who want what we want. They want to be more. They want to do more. They want to have more in their lives. And, you know, you think about Good to Great and Jim Collins, and he talks about the bus and about the key is to get get all the right people on the bus with you. It's more about not where the bus is going, but the people that are on the bus. If you get the right people on the bus with you that buy into your vision, that share your core values, then they will work with you to make sure that the bus arrives at its destination, because leadership is shared. It is, if you're a leader all by yourself, then there's something wrong with this picture. And, you know, Bob Berg, the Go-Giver, he emphasizes the importance of giving more than you expect to receive. That when you, like for instance, let's say someone on the Health, Wealth, and Freedom team who you are not financially linked to in any way asks you to do a three-way call with them. You say yes. You say yes because you know that you will grow in your ability to lead just by having given, and yet you will get nothing in return other than having made a difference and helped that person. You know, servant leadership is so key in every way. The ultimate servant leader, we always think of Jesus and washing the feet of his disciples. What a servant leader does is they empower others. They enable them. They help them to become independent of the leader. As a leader, you would be organizing things. You would be doing recognition, pouring greatness into others. An example of a servant leader is that when you go to an event, let's say you've got team members there with you. Well, do you just go and find a seat by yourself and trust that they'll get a seat somewhere in the audience? Or are you crazy like me and like many people you see at Celebration where, you know, someone runs ahead and throws a couple of books and a scarf and a jacket and a purse on a couple of chairs so that the people that they have invited to be at that event can be there with them. Not in the room with them, but with them in the same row, next to them, making eye contact, you know, sharing the experience fully. And does it take some effort to be the one that saves the seats? You bet it does. But do we do it? Yep. And organizing events. If you're going to Celebration, what are you doing to say to your people, okay, what can we do to also connect personally when we're there? Let's organize a dinner. How can we meet up? Where can we go for lunch? Can we meet in the room before the event so that we can share what we're getting out of today? What did we learn? Share our notes. Share our excitement. Having a team call on a weekly basis is something that Jeff and I do. And whether there's one person on the call with us or 10 or more, we have that call because that's what leaders do. People know they can count on us, that we're going to host that call each week. And we're doing it for them, not for us. The more they understand that, the more they show up and then they start to contribute as well. And a newsletter. Not everyone needs to bother with a newsletter, but I decided a while ago that I was going to put together a newsletter so that I could be in contact with my team. And I'm always learning so that I can teach. There's no way that I can teach without actually understanding, you know, fresh material and reviewing it continually. That's what keeps me on my game, is that I'm a continual learner. So about, you know, people on the bus, you know, you can go fast alone. You have to go slower when you go together. And one of the challenges we face is of spending too much time, perhaps, with the wrong people. You've heard it said before, that thing about pushing a wet noodle. But if you've got the right people on the bus with you, then it's not going to feel that way. They're going to be putting their hands up. They're going to be saying, show me. Teach me how to do this too. And that's where you can get so excited. I mean, I love watching people transform physically. But what's also so wonderful is when people put up their hands and say, this really excites me. I want to be able to help others do this too. And it's time and timing, right? Jeff and I, we have almost 20 consultants. We continually kind of range between 18 and 20. We've been doing that for 7 years. It would be nice, 17. And the reason we maintain consultants so fluidly is because if someone isn't ready to go into a leadership model, if they're not ready to become an executive, I don't dismiss them. I stay in touch with them as a wonderful, happy customer who has shared with a couple of friends. They are loving the products, and I make sure that I support them at that level as well, because you never know when something will change in that person's life, and they may be ready to share and do more at that time. You just slow down, though, if they're not ready to do more, and accept them at whatever level they're at. Now, humility is a huge piece of leadership. You know, you've heard Carolyn and Sue mention earlier this week about, you know, not having to be the one that, you know, puts their hand up and says, okay, I always want to be at the front of the room, or I always want to be the trainer. Well, the reality is, I think that the people on this call, all of you, and myself included, as much as I am a trainer and you're allowing me to speak to you on Wednesday mornings, I know that I learn by receiving, by being a follower. I know that it's only through people giving me permission to speak that I am entitled to teach. Humility is so key, and I don't think anyone on this call is anything less than a leader. Every one of you is a leader. But I look at the leaders of our company. I look at Jim and Kathy Coover and John Anderson. And I get the wow every time I think of them. Because, I mean, John Anderson, he knew what he had when he created the 9-day program. When he came out of retirement with this system because of a health crisis he had, and then he developed the 9-day cleanse, and then it was like, okay, I want to bring this to the world. How can I do that? And he looked to Jim and Kathy Coover. He didn't farm around looking all over the place. He looked specifically to them. Will you partner with me to do this? That's getting the right people on the bus. And all three of them, and Eric as well, are humble. They are self-effacing. They take responsibility for, you know, things that work and things that don't work. They're always looking at ways to improve. It's key that, you know, one of the qualities you notice about them that I think we all feel at every event we go to is love. We must love before we can lead. If I start to get frustrated with, you know, if I say, oh, why aren't people doing something, you know, they've got all the information they need, why aren't they getting on with it or whatever, right? I have to pull myself back from that because that's a negative feeling, and I can see that that's going to hurt me and hurt others because then I will project that. What I have to do is immediately stop myself and come back to compassion, come back to reminding myself that I don't know what's going on in their lives. I should never make assumptions about or take something personally, that I must love and come from that space in order to be able to be focused over there on what's available for them and how I can pour greatness into them and support them at whatever level they're ready to play at. And continuous self-improvement is, it goes without saying, is that because the first thing was the vision, having clarity, taking a stand for what you know is available here for yourself and for others, and not wavering from that, being rock solid in that while people resist and the resistance flows around you. And as a leader, you know, you're going to get noticed. You become visible as a leader. And whether you realize it or not, people are always watching you. And the danger we have is of putting people on a pedestal and, you know, expecting more from them than is humanly possible. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So the first thing is vision and clarity. The second thing is humility. The third thing is focus. It's continuous self-improvement and holding yourself to a higher standard. The fourth thing is discipline. Be a plow horse. You are not your paycheck. You've got to just focus in on what it takes, though, to do every single day what anyone you would want to have in your team is going to be required to do as well. The more structured, the more organized you are, the more clear you are about your daily method of operation, the less fear you will have and the less you will be buffeted by the ups and downs of markets and seasons and people coming and going. When you're really clear with your why, with being not, it's not about me, and being compassionate towards others, about focusing on always continually learning, attending events, being on the calls, reading, studying, and then about the daily method of operation, the more you will feel comfortable that this is here to stay and so are you, that you can do this. Now, I'm going to talk about the pedestal. When I look at Jim and Kathy and John Anderson, the temptation is to put them on a pedestal and to think that, you know, they're inhuman. Even Susan Sly, who is so absolutely incredible, there's a big temptation for me to put her on a pedestal and say, I could never be like that. And unfortunately, that is damaging to us when we do it. It's important to recognize, appreciate, and admire these leaders because they are role models for us. But they are human. They do put their pants on one leg at a time. And we need to have more confidence in our own ability. And the only way we can do that is to, you know, take the celebrity off the pedestal, allow that they have imperfections as well, and accept that, of course, we are not perfect either. You know, we look at the heroes in Greek mythology, or we look for the Marvel comic strip heroes, you know, like the Avengers and so on, and the X-Men, whatever. Well, actually, the X-Men is a better example because they are imperfect. They're mutants, right? And it's their imperfections that make them so incredible. The last piece here that I really want to bring home that ties in with this is that our, you know, it's the Marianne Williamson poem, because you are enough. Keep doing the work. Keep working on you. Keep stepping out on this call. Keep offering to contribute and share, whether it's as an organizer or as a trainer. Work your way forward. Out, like, the only way out of a dark room is through into the light beyond. You become the guide, and you take others by the hand, and you lead them there with you. Neither of you needs to see the whole ladder, just the first rung, right? You have to trust that the next step is there and go. And that's what people do when they hold your hand and go forward, because you've just taken that step one step ahead of them. So you know Marianne Williamson's poem. It was used by Nelson Mandela in his inauguration speech. It's been quoted by so many others. And I thought that would be perfect for today, because I see it in all of you. I mean, over the last 7 years, many of my best friends I have gotten to know through Isagenics. So I'm going to read it for you, and then I'm going to open the call to conversations. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. And your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that others won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. There, I have unmuted us, and I hope this is of value to you today, because we are all emerging as leaders. Who would like to step out and contribute or comment?
Oh, I would. It's Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Maura?
I heard Judy, and then there's a gentleman. Was that Lewis?
It was not a gentleman. It was Lewis.
Okay, so we'll let Judy go first, and then you, Lewis.
I love that poem by Marianne Williamson, and it always shocks me because the idea of shying away from my own strength is, I think of myself as shying away from parts of me that aren't as perfect and brilliant and talented and fabulous, but in some ways it's true, and so... And it's such an applicable lesson you're teaching, not only for our business, but for life and being able to step into all that we do, all our relationships, you know, all our ways that we work out, you know, all of that, to step into it with a lot of clarity and vision and focus on where you want to go and being able to help others do the same. So it was a beautiful message. I loved all the points, and I've written them all down. And so thank you for stepping into your leadership and teaching. So thanks.
Thank you, Judy. Thanks very much, because you are a leader. Lewis, what about you?
Yeah, you know, actually, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Because right after you spoke before, I got cut off. I had a call back in. I just got back in. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you for your passion. That in itself is inspiring.
Thank you, Lewis. It's an absolute journey, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I terms of confession. And I know that I have a strong personality. I know that I get noticed. And, you know, sometimes we don't get recognized for all that we do. We just get criticized for what people perceive as our flaws. And, you know, as a leader, you have to be willing to accept that, because they are noticing your strengths. But what they might mention is what they see as worth criticizing. And so be very clear about your strengths, and come from love, compassion, and forgive quickly, and take the criticism in. Let it. Like, actually, there are three questions to ask yourself if someone ever criticizes you. Because, you know, when spectators watch a race, they focus on the front runners. And when you're ahead of the crowd, everything you do attracts attention. So you have to have a realistic view of yourself. And that is, first of all, ask, who criticized me? Consider the source. Sorry, we've got someone in the background. I'm going to have to press star 5. So the questions were, who criticized me? Consider the source. How was the criticism given? Was it judgmental or was it kindly? Why was it given? Were they actually trying to hurt me or was it for my benefit? Are they trying to help me grow? And the way to respond to criticism is, don't be defensive. Look for the grain of truth in the criticism. Make whatever necessary changes you have to make in order to be better. And take the high road. Don't give tit for tat. Don't retaliate. Just absorb it. Look for what you can gain in learning and modify your approach and always move forward. And is that always easy to do? No. But is it the only way? You bet. Real confidence comes from knowing and accepting yourself, your strengths and your limitations, in contrast to depending on affirmations from others. And following your passion is the key to finding your potential. I mean, do you enjoy using the products and sharing them with others and sharing the opportunity with others so much that you would do it for free? I do. I talk about Isagenix. I just can't help myself because I know in my bones that this is a legacy company that others absolutely deserve to know about, both physically and financially. I've unmuted us once more. So, Lewis, thank you for commenting on that. And the key is to become a very good listener to others, right? Understanding people precedes listening to them. Sorry, precedes leading them. So I've unmuted the lines. Hopefully the background noise isn't too loud. Is there anyone else that wants to comment or share on what I've just said?
I would.
Hi, who's that?
This is Toby from Colorado.
Hi, Toby. Go ahead.
I like what you said about loving before you can lead, because, you know, I really believe in, you know, I've personally gotten frustrated with people. And once I really just started loving people unconditionally, you just, that frustration just goes away and you have more compassion. So I really, really like what you said about that. There's a lot of truth there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Toby.
So thank you.
Yeah, it is the only way. It's when you can come from love and compassion in spite of the way others have treated you at times. You're not doing it because they've been nice to you. You're doing it in spite of the way they've treated you. When you use the four agreements, I find that that's what holds me in good stead at all times, is reminding myself to be mindful, to be present to how I'm responding to something, and to ask myself, should I really be taking this personally? What assumptions am I making?
Yeah.
And let them go. Just
yes.
Let it go.
Yes, I've read the book, The Four Agreements. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank
That's
you.
Been I know many of you on the call today have read The Four Agreements, and if you haven't, then it's a must read, and it's a short read. It's an excellent book. Thank you, Toby. And so, Toby, are you building a team as well? Have you got, are you new to Isagenix?
I came into Isagenix about 4 years ago, but I just came back on board this year.
Uh-huh.
A little bit.
Well, your timing.
Year. Yeah.
Your timing is perfect. Very
Thank
good.
You.
Yeah. So we're at the bottom of the hour. Unless there is one more person that really has a burning desire to speak, I will open for 1 second for that.
I just loved your call, Maura. This is Barbie. Thank you so much.
Oh, Barbie, you're such a sweetheart. Thank you, too. And I am so grateful for you and Gino each morning and, you know, all the regulars and the new people who are now realizing that it's so important to step out and be heard, to contribute in some small way to the whole. You know the expression, sometimes you need the meeting and sometimes the meeting needs you? Well, guess what? That's true every day. Every day. Leaders flash first. So I love you all. You're going to have a great call tomorrow with my husband, Dr. Jeff. He's going to be the speaker tomorrow, I believe. And I'm looking forward to hearing your shares tomorrow morning when you all get on the phone. Go out and make
Nora,
it a great day and see who... Yes?
It's Kathy yes. Elliott Ryden. I just want to say I'm so glad that you and Jeff are on my bus.
We look forward to seeing you tomorrow night, Kathy.
Okay. Thank
okay,
you,
everyone, have a great day. Who can you help? Bye-bye now. Thank